We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Empress Bank. Coming up, the latest on the 2024 NFL Draft from the team at KC Sports Network, your home for Kansas City Chiefs coverage.
A very merry draftmas to all of you, and welcome into the KCSN Draft Show. Appreciate you supporting everything we're doing here at KC Sports Network, and it's time to talk some draft. I'm with my dear pal, Matthew Lane. Matthew, hi, hello, how are we today?
Doing great. You know, it's draft season. We're locked in. We're cruising down. We're getting close to, like, what, 36 days away? 36 days away at the time that we are recording this, of the draft being here. That is fun. That is exciting. It is time to really buckle down here. Like, this is the time where I really come to live. We're past free agency. We're past hypotheticals. We're past all the nonsense. It's just draft time.
Yeah, don't remind me, because the draft guide's got to release in a couple weeks here. How those edges doing, by the way? Hey, by the way, the KCSN draft guide is available for pre-order now. It's going to release on April 5th. If Maddie gets those last few edge write-ups done, we're iffy on it. But anyways, you can pre-order the KCSN draft guide with a link in the description of this show. You can find it on all our social media and all that stuff as well. But for $13.99, you're going to get 300 pages of Chiefs-specific draft content, and you're going to get 3 months to KCSN Substack, which is going to have all the free agent breakdowns of players that the Chiefs acquire. And when the draft hits, it'll be full film reviews of the prospects as well over there on KCSN Substack. So click in the link in the description to pre-order the KCSN draft guide. You'll get 300 pages of Chiefs-specific draft content on April 5th. And again, you can have all that premium content access as well. We are going to talk about the defensive tackle position and the running back position today. And Maddie, I think the priorities on the defensive tackle position probably changed a little bit for the Chiefs. When they sign Chris Jones, there's still some pretty good football players that I think the Chiefs could consider in the top 100, though.
Yeah, that's got me curious. I wonder where the Chiefs do want to go with D-tackle. Right? They brought in a bunch of one-year nose-tackle type guys to come and play next to Chris Jones, who they locked in long-term. So are they going to look for another long-term nose-tackle? They drafted Keandre Coburn last year. He ended up not making the 53-man roster, went to another team, but they tried to get a controlled asset for the nose tackle spot. Are they going to do that again instead of just having a bunch of one-year guys, or are they going to look for more of another pass-rushing defensive tackle, because they do have a handful of guys that might play nose tackle for this team right now on any given play, and really only Tershawn Wharton to back up Chris Jones as a pass rusher. So I think they might be open to any type of defensive tackle on the interior, would be my guess. And so, like, we can just probably start with the top guy that I think the Chiefs have no ability to sniff, Byron Murphy, the second out of Texas. He's a really good football player. Like, he's just so good. He's so explosive. He's so agile. He's such a great athlete for that size. And yeah, he's a little undersized when you think slightly NFL defensive tackle, but he plays with a lot of strength. He does a really good job maximizing his athleticism to where it's not really like an issue in his game for me. So yeah, I think he's one of the best three defensive players in this entire draft. I don't think there's really much of a chance he doesn't go in the top 20 picks.
It's been a little bit surprising to see the lack of sizzle surrounding a Byron Murphy, and I just don't know if it's just trying to find a place to fit him in based on positional needs for some of these other teams. But yeah, I think he's a top 20. I think he's a top 20 player easily. And you know, you talk about, I'm not going to compare him to a Kalijah Kancey or anything like that, but you see a guy that's bigger than a Kalijah Kancey, period. He's just under 300 pounds, but he's got great initial quickness. He's able to get into a gap and really disrupt plays and deconstruct blocks too. You know, getting off blocks really well with good hand technique. And I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of projection to his game as well. I don't understand why there's not as much buzz around him. I mean, it's not like he's Kalijah Kancey small. Like, he's still a good-sized defensive tackle. I mean, he's a true three-tech that can really do a lot and disrupt games. I don't know, you know, why he's not getting as much buzz as some people, you know, have. I don't know.
And it's not that he can't play the run. Like, yeah, he's not the biggest guy, but even if you throw double teams at him, he's a guy that they must have taught him, or it's just he's comfortable with it. He likes to drop to a knee, and then he'll contort his body to slip through the double team or let one of the blocks slide off, and then he still holds his ground. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think he ends up going in the top 20. I think the hype was building around the combine, and then his 40 time, I think is what it was, didn't quite cash in on what people were expecting it to be, but the rest of the athletic like marks were so good that like it just doesn't matter. You go and look at like his spider chart, and like some of the size stuff is a little down, but everything else is 80th, 90th percentile of any other workout metric you can look at. So I'll be a little surprised if we get to the draft and doesn't hear his name at the top, because I think he's that clean of a prospect. He's a younger guy. He's not an old player. So I think draft media is going to be a little lower on him, or has been a little lower on him, than what the NFL is going to be come the NFL draft.
I think one of the more curious players in this draft for me is, I think, the clear DT2 for me. It's Johnny Newton out of Illinois. And, you know, I feel like he's a first-round talent. I don't think the Chiefs would be in on him if he was available. But I think he is a guy that, like, if they were going pure best player available, I think you could potentially make an argument that he could be there at 32. I still anticipate that happening. But I think he's probably a guy we're rooting for, you know, going somewhere in the first round before the Chiefs do select. He's another, he's not the biggest defensive tackle. He's just a shade above 300 pounds. But as far as being a disruptive pass rusher, that's really, like, I think one of the calling cards of Johnny Newton, I think, is he is another guy that can get into the backfield, that can win quick along the interior. A really quality pass rusher. Maybe, you know, he has a little bit of Chris Jones in the sense that he might take some chances from time to time. He might be a little bit, might lack some gap discipline at times in the run game. But I've really enjoyed watching him play. He's a player I really like, and I could see him potentially going before the Chiefs are picking at 32.
Yeah, he's a weird one, because to me, I like the player as well. I'm with you. A little undersized, but as like a gap shooting, penetrating three tech style defensive tackle, he's very good. He offers pass rush. He can disrupt the run game a little bit. It's just, for me, he's the narrative around him, from what seems like in the media, is a little bit higher than Byron Murphy, and I don't see that correlation at all. Because I think with Newton, I think you come across a few more of the potential issues of undersized defensive tackles. He lacks some arm length, so I think blockers get into his chest easily. I don't think he has this high-end elite athleticism. He's a good athlete. I just don't think he's an elite athlete, so you don't see the same level of agility or body control that I think Byron Murphy shows. So, very good player. I think that he's a guy that's a little bit more risk-reward, I guess, than a Murphy is, but I think he's clearly the defensive tackle, too. I think, to Kent's point, if you're the Chiefs, you probably would love to see him come off the board, but he's also dealing with a foot injury. Having a foot injury while being a defensive tackle is already something that teams are going to take note of, because, you know, they're bigger bodied guys. That's a lot of stress. So I don't know ultimately where he ends up going. As a Chiefs fan, he'd be fun to slot in there, but it's also hard to figure out where you would play him, you know, a significant amount of snaps given some inconsistencies versus the run if you have him and Chris Jones on the same roster. So you probably want him off the board to push some other positions down, but a very good player that I think somebody probably pulls the trigger on, you know, in the top 50 for sure.
Yeah, I do think he has a decent chance. There's been some injury stuff. I believe he's been kind of resting a foot injury, so he hasn't been able to, you know, have a full process here yet for, you know, getting ready for the draft. So that is something that could potentially hamper his stock. Let's kind of move on to some of those day two players. You know, I think there's some players that I think could potentially fit in Kansas City. You know, we have Leonard Taylor out of Miami pretty high on our draft board. I think he's actually DT3. Kind of an interesting evaluation, because if you look at him, he played as a zero tech, a nose tech, you know, his last year at Miami. If you go and look at some of the tape from years prior where he got to play in a gap, it was a lot better. But if you're talking about a guy with a very similar frame to a Chris Jones, Leonard Taylor has that kind of length while still playing, you know, a little bit above 300 pounds. Kind of an interesting evaluation in this draft process.
Yeah, he's a guy that in 2022, you love the flashes. He showed you some like high-end athletic traits to go along with really good length and the good size. And like you're like, oh, this guy's going to break out this next year. And then Miami kind of changes his positions. He plays more of a zero tech and he doesn't fight it. We actually got a chance to talk to him down at the East-West Shrine game. And he was like, no, I loved playing zero tech too. I love taking on double teams and playing the run. It's a fun feeling to have to take on those kind of blockers. So he didn't dislike being in a, I would guess, a less sexy position, a less sexy role for Miami. But I kind of thought for the combine, he would come out and show everybody like, hey, I'm still this super high-end athlete that was a five-star recruit and has all this potential. And his athletic testing was pretty average for the defensive tackle. He was right around the 40th, the 50th percentile and the vertical jump, broad jump, 40-yard dash, three cone. So it's just, he's kind of getting into a spot now where I'm a little lost. I don't think he has the strongest anchor to be a run-stuffing nose tackle, but he maybe doesn't have the high-end athleticism that you normally look for as a pass rusher. So he's a guy that might see himself fall down a little bit down the draft board just as teams try to figure out where to put him. Since his college game is so much flashes and not necessarily consistent play, I still really like him. He might be one of those guys that you get into an NFL room, finds the right kind of motivation for him, the right kind of room and everything, and he really takes off. But he is a guy that I think has once been maybe a first-round pick. You might find him towards the end of day two at this point in time.
I think some teams have had some questions about him and his maturity and some of that kind of stuff as well, by some indications, you know, that there's some questions that got to get answered about Leonard Taylor. But man, I really enjoy watching him play. And, you know, you talk about maybe a middling athlete, but he didn't show that. I mean, he showed to be a more athletic player when you watch his game tape.
Yeah,
I mean, he's one of the better athletes in the class. All right, any other day two defensive tackles that you're interested in? I know there's a long list of these guys.
And so many.
Yeah. And it's kind of like we talk about receiver, like, you know, pick your profile. I think there's some similarities there with the defensive tackle spot.
Yeah, so I guess I'll split them up into like, there's the two groups. I'm going to go to like the pass rusher guys, the penetrators first. And I think there's a couple guys of that kind of nature on day two that I don't know if that's what the Chiefs would look for, right? But if the value ends up being right, maybe it's more of a round three pick. You get one of these pass rushing defensive tackles that you can have backup Chris Jones for a few years, play next to him on third downs and eventually take over. So I'm looking at guys like Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State, Braden Fisk out of Florida State. Now, he might be climbing up draft boards like crazy, given how he worked out. I mean, a little worried about the arm length, about the age with him, but like Michael Hall Jr., Braden Fisk, you can even probably throw him a Kai Wingo from LSU in there. Mm-hmm. These guys are pass rushing defensive tackles. They all have good pass rushing moves, good technique. They have the ability to get off the ball and put pressure on interior offensive linemen. I think in a way that some of the other bigger run-stuffing defensive tackles might not. So, yeah, those are some guys I definitely have my eyes on. I think of that group, I like Michael Hall the best. What he did at the Senior Bowl. He went down to Mobile at the Senior Bowl after, I don't want to say a bad, but maybe a slightly disappointing year, you know, last year to Ohio State. It was a little bit of a surprise. I think he came out as a junior here. But he goes down to Mobile, and it's a good offensive line group, and he's just making people look silly with his lateral agility, with the pass rush repertoire that he has. So I was really impressed with how he looked down there when he really got put into a position to just pin his ears back and rush the passer, whereas at Ohio State, it's a little bit more of a team effort. So, yeah, he's a guy I really have my eye on that I think the NFL might not love because he is 285 pounds versus 200. Yeah. But he's a guy that 20 years old, maybe about to turn 21 right before the draft, that you could get him an NFL strength room and let him add on some weight, get stronger. I think there's plenty of room there in Kansas City's a spot that can handle developing a guy like that because they don't need him to play right away.
Doesn't turn 21 until June. And I think when I look at the defensive tackle position for the Chiefs, like on its face, I wonder if Michael Hall would be too strongly considered by the Chiefs because he's only 290 pounds, like to your point, and he is on the lighter side. Just kind of depends on how they're planning on using him, because, you know, the Chiefs lined up Chris Jones and Turk Wharton together several times in the last,
right,
you know, couple of years. It feels like maybe there's a deviation away from some of the stuff that they've, you know, typically preferred, you know, along the interior of the defensive line. Do they have to have a 330 pound nose tackle? Do they care as much about that?
And a quick extra point, it's just about this. You have George Karlaftis, right? But you lost Mike Dana. Charles Omenihu might not be around, but look at some of the defensive ends they've also brought in. Felix Anunoke-Uzomah, BJ Thompson. Those guys aren't flexing inside to D-tackle at the same rate that, you know, Frank Clark's size would have allowed them to do, that Karlaftis' size does allow them to do at times. Like, they have some lighter D-ends too. So they might not be playing as many exterior rushers on the interior anymore. So maybe you can have two pass rushing defensive tackles on the roster more readily available than maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
And maybe they want to push them outside those boxes a little bit, because like they didn't mind Turk Wharton playing the run last year, even though he was one of those lighter guys and he could get washed out of gaps from time to time. So maybe some of those, the taboo is going a little bit away from that. And if that's the case, man, I'd love Michael Hall. There's still a traditional nose tackle that's in this kind of range. You know, it would still be a little bit surprising, I think, for the Chiefs to invest a ton of draft capital into Vondre Sweat, the massive 6'5", 366-pound defensive tackle that might have lost some weight in order to run. But, I mean, he's an absolute force along the interior. How many snaps he ultimately gets to play per game is going to be one of those questions. How long is he going to be able to hold up? But no one can move him when he's along the interior.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a pure nose tackle. I think that's maybe not fair. He does show a little bit as a pass rusher, but it's definitely in short little, it's in bursts, right? It's in straight line bursts, but there's some pass rush ability there, but it's the nose tackle. It's a massive nose tackle. It's going to come in, plug up some gaps for you, going to give you a little bit as a pass rusher, probably on early downs. Like, I don't think he is a non-three down player, but I also, to your point, he's 260 plus pounds. We've seen Jordan Davis, who is one of the biggest athletic freaks of all time, can't stay on the field for the Philadelphia Eagles just because at the NFL, it's hard to be that weight and play more than a couple snaps in a row, especially if you have to extend yourself beyond, you know, show some range on a play. So I do think there will be snap count concerns. I don't think he'll be a fit for every team's like play style or anything like that. So I'll be curious to see where he goes, but he's definitely one of the premier nose tackle type guys. Other day two guys, Chris Jenkins from Michigan. Good athlete. Michigan made him play nose tackle. He shouldn't, but they made him play nose tackle. So you kind of, I don't know if you know what you're getting yet. Like, he's an athletic guy, a super athletic player that wasn't really allowed to pin his ears back. So you're probably taking a little bit of a shot on the projection that those athletic traits can roll over and you can teach him how to be a pass rusher and
pedigree
stuffer. Yeah. A dad played in the NFL, very good NFL player for a long time. So he's another guy that'll probably go on day two. Is there any other day two D tackles that kind of caught your eye, or are you ready to move on to the third day here?
I like McKinley Jackson out of Texas A&M. I thought he had a really good Senior Bowl. He's definitely more of a guy that's going to, you know, he's going to be a nose. He may not have a ton of pass rush juice, but I think he had more than, you know, some people kind of thought coming into the Senior Bowl. So I think he did a good job helping himself. He's not a great athlete. I think the player comp for him in the KCSN draft guide is a Derek Nnadi, but I actually think he's a little bit more pass rush juice than Derek Nnadi. I've really enjoyed him. One day three defensive tackle I wanted to make sure we got to was Christian Boyd out of UNI. I think he's another guy that's really done a good job of helping himself throughout the process. If you look at his build, it kind of reminds me of a Mike Pinnell build. Like, he's going to be a 320-pound type player, but he's done such a great job, you know, throughout this pre-draft process. I think he's one of the darlings, and, you know, he might even sneak into day two of the draft if we're not careful. I think he's shown pretty good initial quickness for being on the heavier side, being a bigger guy. So a little bit more pass rush juice than I think people anticipated, but also very good and stout against the run and difficult to move and did a good job taking on some double teams, you know, at the East-West Shrine Game. So I really enjoyed watching Christian Boyd play, and I think he's done a ton to help himself. Oh, and by the way, he's from Blue Springs, Missouri. He's right down the street. He grew up a Chiefs fan. He has a Chiefs tattoo. I had a chance to talk to him at the East-West Shrine. It was great getting to talk to him. And boy, he wants to be a Chief. I mean, that would definitely be something pretty cool for him.
Yeah, no, he was. It's very rare when you do an All-Star game and, like, during the actual, like, 11-on-11 period, somebody makes a noticeable impact, right? Like, that's less of what you get to see a huge impact from players on as during the 11-on-11 stuff. Boyd was a guy that, when he was out there, he was making plays, and when he wasn't, it was noticeable that the offense was having a lot better success trying to get into what they were practicing and working on. So, yeah, I thought he was really good down there at the Shrine. I think he came out and set a school record for the bench press when he had his pro day. He was not invited to the NFL combine, which was crazy to me. So yeah, good showing for him. I think he's only climbing up the board. This defensive tackle class, I think there's only like one guy that I truly feel like is top of the tiers. And then we talked about Byron Murphy, but there's so many guys that come in that next group. We didn't even talk about either of the Clemson defensive tackles. LSU has.
She just tried to say Rook's name.
Rook or Rororo?
Good job. That's pretty good.
It's an easy one to say because it's literally the same sound just repeated three times.
Good job. No, I was proud of you, buddy.
Let's see. We didn't talk about Mason Smith, the other LSU off defensive tackle, just a massive guy, but like a good athlete. Like, there's so many good defensive tackles in the depth part of this, in the middle rounds of this draft, that I don't know if teams are going to be desperate or like racing to go pick guys early on day two. I think you can get guys late day two, early day three. So like some other guys, like I like Miles Murphy out of North Carolina, another big run stuffing nose tackle that you could probably get in the middle of day three if that's the route you want to go. Marcus Harris out of Auburn, kind of the same thing. So there's guys of all shapes and sizes in this draft, and I don't think that at any point in time teams are going to have to panic to make sure they can find a defensive tackle that fits their team.
Where do you see the Chiefs taking a defensive tackle, or do you see him taking one?
I think they'll take one. The way I look at it is the way this class shapes out, if there is a good value, let's say at the end of round three, kind of round three is where I back. If you get a good value there, maybe you have a really big grade on a Chris Jenkins and he slides, or a Michael Hall that we talked about, somebody like that, and they are sliding till the end of round three and you want to take them or slip them in there because this is a guy that you think can be a starting player for you in the future, I would get it. But if not, I think they see them just like waiting till day three. I don't think they are going to trip over themselves. I don't think they're going to go out of their way to make sure they take a defensive tackle early. I think it would purely be a value play before you get to, you know, the mid 100 picks.
All right. Any other defensive tackles before we get out of this position and move on?
Small shout out Keith Randolph out of Illinois. He played alongside Jerzon Newton. When I was watching them this offseason, I was like, hey, that guy has better NFL traits in terms of length and kind of burst. Not as good of a player, but he has a better build and traits, and they kind of moved him around the defensive line this year, so didn't have as good of a season, but he's still, I think, a pretty good player.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois, a lot of three down, you know, so, you know, maybe put him in a gap and see what happens a little bit there too. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to talk about the running backs right after this.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Continuing along here on the KCSN Draft Show. Again, you can pre-order the KCSN Draft Guide. Link is in the description of this show. $13.99 gets you the guide when it releases on April 5th. It's 300-plus pages of Chiefs-specific draft content, and you're going to get 3 months to the KCSN Substack as well. We are about to talk about the running back position. Maddie, I feel like RB1 for you is Jonathan Brooks with the bullet, right?
Yeah, I don't love the overall. This running back class does not have the super, super high end talent. And I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's a bad class necessarily, but I think it's a lot of guys that you want to insert into a rotation rather than to be the guy, the one guy you want to ride as your running back one for a team. That said, Jonathan Brooks is the one guy that I can buy into that. Jonathan Brooks is the guy that I think can fill that role. So he is running back one pretty comfortably to me. I think he's a guy, three down player. He can run in any kind of scheme. He's so fluid and natural in how he runs. And I think that's a big thing. He can run as a one cut guy. He can string moves together. I think he's like really close up there with Bijan Robinson, who like was just unbelievable in terms of forcing missed tackles or above expectation. And he's like right there with him. So I have a hard time poking very, very many holes in Jonathan Brooks' game, other than the fact that he's coming off of an ACL tear. And I think that is going to probably push him down some draft boards and make the one running back that feels like a lock to be a pretty solid starter, or like a lock that I think the NFL would see as a starter, into maybe being a guy that you get a little value on later on day two rather than earlier.
And he's a guy that is very highly regarded by the Texas program as one of the best leaders in that entire, you know, program. And there was some concern even when he, you know, went down, how that was going to affect the rest of the team, because that's the kind of leadership and kind of intangibles that he had as a player. So you're getting a high football player, high football character type player, on top of just being a really good prospect. Obviously, the injuries are going to bring some questions, and you know, if those get answered well, I think he could be one RB1 off the board. My favorite. So this is the, I don't want to say it's the wildest take I have, because I've probably had some pretty crazy ones. I don't know if Braylon Allen is a perfect fit for the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'll tell you what, I would not be upset with the Chiefs taking Braylon Allen as soon as pick 64. I absolutely love this kid. I love the idea of this kid, and it's still a very young player. He's Braylon Allen. If you don't know who he is, he started playing at Wisconsin as a 17-year-old running back. So this is a kid that is a very young player. He just turned 20 years old. He was born in 2004. He is one of the youngest draft prospects ever. But he's a massive human. 6'1", 235 pounds, physical, downhill runner. Surprisingly good in, you know, pass protection. You know, he's nimble enough to be able to square up, you know, blitzers. You know, there's going to be questions about how much he can do in the passing game. There's going to be questions about how versatile he is from a run scheme perspective. But when you're looking at this kind of kid, what a physical, like, just imagine teams having to try to tackle Braylon Allen and Isaiah Pacheco for four quarters. Like, do you try to just accommodate that a little bit and build around that a little bit on top of everything this team already does? I love the, I know he's not a perfect fit, but I just love the idea of Braylon Allen in the Chiefs uniform, because I think it would just be an element that teams don't want to deal with, on top of having to deal with so many other things that this offense can present.
He's slotted in as running back too for me. So like, I like him. I'm with you. You prefaced it well. He's maybe not a perfect fit for the Chiefs. I think there's been some issues with his ability to do some, like a lot of zone running stuff, as Wisconsin changed to that this past year. No. You just want to have him run outside zone, put his foot in the ground, and go crash into the gap? Sure. But when you start to get into slower developing stuff, I do think there are some issues, or not even issues, just things that he needs to work on. So yeah, it's not a perfect fit. And as a pass catcher, he's done little to nothing, right? Let's be very clear. He's done little to nothing. So pairing him with Pacheco, you probably still would need a third down back of some kind. Not that Pacheco's completely, you know, has to be off the field as a third down back, but that's not his specialty either. So you would probably need another back in the rotation, but I like the player. I think he's surprisingly nimble in short areas and short spaces. So working from one gap to another, setting up or linebackers by jumping from gap to gap, like, he's pretty good in all of that regard. So I do like Braylon Allen a lot. I'm with you. I think he's probably better in a more downhill scheme than what the Chiefs will have, but you put him on this roster, you put him on there, and you just let teams handle him, like have to handle him and Isaiah Pacheco over and over again, and I think it could go well. And something else that I do like that he does, he's not going to take a lot of negative plays. I think Isaiah Pacheco takes a lot of negative plays as a runner for the Chiefs, and to get big plays, but he takes negative plays pretty frequently. Braylon Allen is at least pretty good at making sure that he's getting 1 to 2 yards rather than 0 or -1 yards, and I think that's kind of big to have that guy as well to go on Pacheco. You don't need another big play hunter. You need someone that is willing to just take what, not is there, but like, you know, make a bad play into an okay play. And I think he can do that. So fun player. He just beat out Trey Benson of Florida State. I think that's a lot of people's other kind of top running back. For me to be running back too, My thing with Benson, super athlete. He seems to have come back from a devastating knee injury early in his career while he's playing at Oregon before transferring to Florida State. Super, super athletically gifted, big play machine. He shows a lot of flashes, a pass catcher. Like, on theory, he makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs. But as a running style, he just has so much overlap with Pacheco to me that I think he doesn't have the best vision. He struggles to take the easy gains when they're there, trying to find a big play. So he's just a guy that I think you could pair with Pacheco and get a good matching of skill sets. I just also think you would have two guys that have the same shortcomings as runners, and I don't know if that's what you want to go for. But he's a very good playmaker that I think a lot of teams will be happy to get.
Is Dylan Johnson, the running back out of Washington, going to be a my guy for you, Maddie? Because, like, the way I've heard you talk about him the last few months, it feels like he's going to wind up being a my guy for you.
I love Dylan Johnson. I absolutely love him. I'm a little disappointed that he tested as poorly as he did at the NFL Combine. And not that, testing means everything for a running back, but, you know, he was pretty much in all the athletic testings in the bottom 30th percentiles. So everything besides broad jump was pretty low. But good size, 6 feet, 220 pounds. What I love about Johnson, pass protection, pass catching, check and check. You want a guy, he's bigger than Jerick McKinnon, but you want to give me a guy that's going to just fill right into the Jerick McKinnon role of being your receiver, your outlet player, that's going to be a great pass protector and catcher. He's the guy. And I don't know how early you want to take that player in this draft, but, like, he fills such a clear role. And it's not that he can't run the ball at all. He actually has, I think, really good vision, a really nice jump cut. It's just he's not going to be a super dynamic runner of any kind. He's not going to be a super dynamic player after the catch. But coming out of the air raid system at Mississippi State before transferring to Washington, so much experience on passing plays, whether in pass protection or as a receiver. Yeah, he's definitely in contention for a my guy sticker because I just think he does the stuff well that I definitely think the Chiefs need, and things that I think he just does at such a high rate that college players usually struggle with.
So I get the concern about athletic testing. I'm going to throw a name out there because I used to do the running backs for the KCSN draft guide. And this guy's 22 pounds lighter. But a lot of the things you just talked about just now that got you excited about a Dylan Johnson, it reminds me of the arc that we experienced with Kyren Williams out of Notre Dame, where we loved the pass protection. Like, that was such an advanced aspect of his game. And then he goes to the NFL Combine and he's just tests horrifically. But look at him now. He kind of figured some things out there, even though he wasn't the best athlete. He still is an exceptional pass protector, but he wound up being one of the most productive backs in the National Football League this year, despite the athletic profile being underwhelming. It might be a, like, just the way you describe the things you like about Dylan Johnson remind me of all the things I liked about Kyren Williams, and I wound up pushing him down a little bit because of, the athletic testing. And sometimes athletic testing matters. And I think partially, some of my concerns was, I think there's been guys like Vander Holyfield's kid and some of these other backs that, athletic testing matters to a degree, and some kids tank because of it. But there were so many advanced skill sets that Kyren Williams had that make sense in a modern NFL offense that he was able to kind of overcome it. And I think Dylan Johnson's a guy that can overcome that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, no, I really like that. And, like, so I went kind of the other way with the comp, but same, I think, process. I went with Ramondre Stevenson, the New England Patriots, for the same thing. Good third down back. Now, Stevenson's, 10, 15 pounds heavier, but I was looking for a third down back that also has good short area quickness, whose athleticism I don't think hampers him in the same way on the field. So, yeah, it's just that's the type of player, I think. And so he's a guy I think NFL teams are going to love. It's just I don't know how high he's going to go because there probably isn't a ton of dynamic running to his game. So I'm going to move on from a guy that's not super dynamic to probably the most dynamic running back in this class, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. He has made a crazy push here lately to drive up people's draft boards. I've seen people have as high as running back one. I get it. I understand what we're going for. You want a guy in a probably not the best running back class. You're going to take the guy that has the most potential to rip off long runs, to be a dynamic player that's going to hit home runs. Yeah, he makes a ton of sense. Decent, a little undersized, but muscular, like not a weak player, not a frail player, even though he's just a little over 200 pounds, but super explosive, super fast. I think he had the most runs of 20 plus yards this past season, like per attempt, in all of college football. He's just an explosive play waiting to happen. I just, you know, had a little bit of questions about how often he's hitting those explosive plays versus he is missing where he probably should go. But I understand taking a big swing on a guy like that.
Let's move on to some of these other prospects here. I mean, Maddie, you were the writer of the KCSN draft guide running back spot. So tell me some guys that you think would make some sense for the Chiefs in day three of this draft.
One of my favorite guys is Ray Davis out of Kentucky. He's an older player, but at the running back position where you probably are only getting one contract out of guys and or after that, it's going to be taking deals. That concerns me a little bit less, but I like Ray Davis because, again, proven third down ability. He understands pass protection because he's been in college for like 6 or 7 years now. He can catch the ball really well out of the backfield, and they didn't just use him as a check down guy at Vanderbilt or Kentucky. He actually ran like routes. Not that they would split him out, but he would run the angle routes. He would run some wheel routes. He would go run like some option stuff. So he's a capable route runner, good hands, but then as a runner, his lateral agility, Chiefs fans aren't going to like this. He moves and like Clyde Edwards-Helaire did before pre-hip injury. Clyde Edwards-Helaire on track to have 1,000 yards as a rookie before he got hurt. He moves like pre-hip injury Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I think there might even be a little bit more burst, right? Clyde lost some fluidity to his movement when he suffered that hip injury. I think Ray Davis still has that. Plus, he has maybe a tiny bit more burst than Clyde had. So, like, I just see why the Chiefs would like him. I think he would fit in, a very natural runner. So he's a guy that I actually am really high on compared to what I think a lot of other people are.
One of the guys I'm really excited about in day three is Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. I think he is one of the best coached running backs in this entire class. And you can look at that saying, hey, maybe there's no projectability there. Maybe he just kind of is what he is. I tend to look at it as I think he's just a guy that, you know, isn't going to come in with a ton of bad habits relative to some of the other players that, you know, might wind up, you know, going out there. But a good size running back. I thought he showed really good vision, advanced vision for, you know, a guy. And he doesn't get to flash it all the time because, you know, all the holes were wide open because there's like 3 draft picks on the South Dakota State offensive line. And so, like, he wasn't always getting to show that. But, like, you go back and you watch 2022 against Iowa where he's playing against an FCS opponent. I just thought he did a really good job, showed great patience, great understanding of the blocking scheme, did a good job kind of setting, you know, blockers up at the second level. He's got good ability in pass protection. He's a capable outlet in the passing game. Maybe not the most dynamic guy. He's definitely a little bit stiff as a player. That's one thing that is kind of, you know, a little bit tricky, but there's so many little traits that I think you want in a running back room. I think he's a well-rounded player that I think could really fit well just into, you know, into a running back rotation. So he's just a guy that I've really appreciated. I've really liked, and I'd love to see him as a Chief on day three.
Yeah, no, he's a guy I'm with you there. I think good vision, very technically sound runner. He runs really hard. But there is a little bit of stiffness to his running style. And the step up in competition is the only real reservation I have for him. Like, right. Like, it's pretty easy to run through lower level of competition in college, but when you go up to the next level, can you continue that same power? So being a taller kind of stiff guy, he's going to be taking on a lot of contact. And like, that's just, not that I'm afraid that he can't do it. I just wonder if that runs where he's averaging 6 yards after contact all of a sudden becomes only 2 at the next level. But you want to talk about a day three guy that can come in, not only he'd be a short yardage type of back, can give you some, you know, worthwhile reps on third down. He's a guy that's there. I think a lot of people like Isaac Grindo out of Louisville via the way of Wisconsin. More athletic, right, than Isaiah Davis. A little bit, you know, one of those freakiest athletes. One of the freakiest athletes. But I think the running style is kind of the same. They're both still pretty linear, pretty upright runners that I think Isaiah Davis goes and seeks out contact better, but Grindo has the power to run through it just as well because he is so explosive. So, like, again, he's another kind of big play winning to threat. I don't know if he always plays to it, though. And that's, like, my hesitation. I think people are going to see his athleticism and go try to watch him and be waiting for some of the big plays. And it takes a while to find them because he doesn't always play super decisive. I think he's a little, not patient, just almost too hesitant at times, but you get him into the NFL under the right coaching. I don't know, let's say Kansas City that developed, Isaiah Pacheco from what he was, you know, doing at Rutgers, and get those two paired together. kind of like we talked about with Braylon Allen, that there's like some crossover there. I get it. But also handling those two guys, Pacheco and Garrido, back to back all game long with that speed, that size, that'd be a handful for teams.
Oh, absolutely. That's an explosive. It's getting back to the Legion of Zoom type running backs with the physicality, size, speed combination reminded me of Damian Williams a little bit. Any other backs you want to talk about before we get out of here, Matthew?
One of my absolute favorite backs to just watch and to pigeonhole into a very specific role is Mayan Williams out of Ohio State. And it's a late day three pick. But man, if you need someone to step in on third downs and pass protect, and you need somebody to pick up third and one, I have your guy, and his name is Mayan Williams. That's all he's going to be out there doing, because there is no juice to get a lot more than a couple yards. But he's really good at it, and I think he's really good at finding the right holes in these short yard situations. Like, it's a role. It's very much a specific role, and it's not even a huge role. It's not like this is every third down rep. But you want a very solid pass protector to come in that I think will do a really good job there, not do a whole lot as a pass catcher, but as a pass protector, and then be your short yardage back. I think Mayan Williams is going to find a role in the NFL, and he's going to stick around for a while without ever really being a starter or a significant contributor, probably.
All right, well, we're going to find out what happens with the Chiefs and the running back position. Do they invest in one in this draft? Do they sign some free agents to try to add to that rotation? It's going to be interesting to see, and we will have you covered in the KCSN Draft Guide. We will have you covered on draft night as it happens. Thank you all so much for listening to the KCSN Draft Show. We'll catch you later.